a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a great privilege for me to deliver this sermon as we mark the 100th anniversary of Anzac Day. I was born and raised in England, but my grandfather was born at Rushworth here in Victoria and served as a pilot with No. 1 Squadron, Australian Flying Corps, in the First World War. As a boy, I was told all the stories and all the memorabilia being displayed today in the foyer and the names printed in our news sheet reveal that so many of us have a story to tell of service, bravery, and sacrifice from Gallipoli to the present day. Some will be remembering family who served, but some, like Bruce Wilson, will be recalling their own military service. I recognize that there is a mix of emotions on occasions such as this. We're all different, and there'll be different approaches and attitudes to the whole subject of armed conflict. That's understandable. Yet I'm sure I speak for everyone present when I say that with this Anzac centenary service, there is no desire to glorify war, but rather to honor those men and women who over the past 100 years have served with our armed forces, both overseas and here in Australia, and those left behind who supported, worked, and prayed. I'm also aware of and give thanks for the fact that those nations once counted as enemies are now our friends. The passing of the years brings healing and understanding between peoples, and new friendships are forged. That's been a wonderful feature over the past decades. Today, as we look back on conflicts past, we recognize the great cost paid by those who served this country in two world wars and in various theaters of war since, in Korea, Borneo, Malaya, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other parts of our troubled world. And when trouble comes, the writer of Psalm 46 encourages us all to look to God afresh and find in Him the resources we need to endure with hope and with faith. Indeed, this should be the focus for all our days. So firstly, God the shelter. Verse 1 of our psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I'm sure anyone here with a naval background would identify with the need to find shelter from the storm. Well, the writer says, God is our refuge. He is our shelter. Our real security lies in our God, our Creator. He's also described here as our strength. We believe this psalm was probably written when Jerusalem was under considerable military threat from the Assyrian army, and the people in the city felt weak and helpless at the prospect of invasion. They're reminded, God is your strength. It was an Australian soldier in the infamous prisoner of war camp on the River Kwai, made famous by the film Bridge on the River Kwai, in World War II, who approached a senior officer, Ernest Gordon, and asked him to teach the men from the New Testament. They had witnessed such horrors in that camp. They were weak, dangerously overworked. Thousands had died building the railway, and they were given little food. This Australian soldier believed that maybe they could get much-needed strength from the scriptures. He thought it was worth a try and thought Ernest Gordon might be the man who could do it. And so try they did. Ernest Gordon, a military man to the core, began to teach the men from the New Testament. As a result, the camp was transformed. morale grew, unity and confidence increased, and when liberation came, the captives protected their captors from reprisal. After the war was over, Ernest Gordon wrote a book entitled The Miracle on the River Kwai, and in 2002, it was made into a film. When the worst comes, many have discovered that having God as our shelter gives us the strength to face even the darkest moments. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Everything around us may be in tumult and chaos, but God, declares the writer, remains the same, unchanging, the refuge and strength in the storm. God, the shelter. Secondly, God, the helper. It's hard to imagine how vulnerable those Australian and New Zealand soldiers landing at Anzac Cove 100 years ago must have felt. So many fell there, like Private William Head from Montalbert, aged just 21. He was one of 27 soldiers from the Whitehorse District to die at Gallipoli. Others survived the mayhem of that campaign, but they, like so many in conflict since, carried the memories with them. Memories of the horrors of war, of grief, of feeling alone, exposed, and in constant danger. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The promise is clear. In the midst of the storm, God never abandons his people, whatever it may look like. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ looked to all the world like a tragic failure. But at break of day, 3 days later, the tomb was empty. The Lord had risen. The city of God in verse 4, Jerusalem, doesn't have a river. It never has, save for a small spring at Gihon outside the city walls. The river that's described as flowing through it in verse 4 is the symbolic river of God's living presence among his people. Verse 5, God is within her. The city and its temple are where the Most High dwells. God lives among his people and stays among his people. And wonderfully, by the Holy Spirit, he dwells in the believer today, lives within them and stays with them. Faithful, loyal, dependable. In John's Gospel, we read how the Lord Jesus assured his followers, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For the Lord Jesus, faithfulness would lead to sacrifice, because God will not abandon his people. After the resurrection, he would assure his disciples, saying, I am with you always to the very end of the age. It was that clear assurance of constancy, of faithfulness in God, which would prompt the Apostle Paul to write, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Martin O'Meara from WA was a stretcher bearer in northern France during World War I. He would run into no man's land to rescue the injured, even under heavy shell fire. O'Meara was injured himself many times, fulfilling his duty, but he wouldn't abandon his colleagues. He was awarded the Victoria Cross for his bravery. In the two world wars, 7,000 Australian women served as nurses in the field hospitals of a war-ravaged world. They went to help and to support. In World War II, a Polish family in Krakow hid the father of a very close friend of mine who had escaped a POW camp. They hid him in their home for several weeks at great personal risk. He was forever in their debt. They all survived. To be this kind of helper is to follow the very example of God himself, modeling faithfulness and sacrifice. To underline the faithful character of God, the psalmist writes, verse 7, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God the shelter, God the helper, and thirdly, God the ruler. Throughout history, evil men with grand ambitions have risen to positions of national leadership by fair means or foul, and have then abused their authority to wreak havoc on their own people and surrounding nations as well. Sennacherib, ruler of Assyria, was such a leader and was the imminent threat to Israel at this time. Sadly, there have been too many like him down the centuries since. But each of them has forgotten one fact, that there is only one supreme ruler, and that is God himself. Verse 8, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. In God's eyes, writes Isaiah, nations are like a drop in the bucket. For anyone who lived under the heel of Stalin's Russia or Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, it may not have seemed so. Indeed, to the people living in Jerusalem, fearing the Assyrian army, it may not have seemed so either. That's why the writer calls God's people to look at their God afresh, to be reminded that he is creator. See what the Lord has done. He's saying, look at the hills, the valleys, the oceans, the stars in the sky. He's creator. Then they're reminded, God is sovereign. He makes war cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. Human powers may threaten with all their chaotic might, but ultimately, says the writer of our psalm, they fall. Verse 6, "Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts." The people of Jerusalem needed to hear that message. Things were going to be very difficult for them, but they were not to forget that God was still sovereign. The famous poster from the days of the London Blitz said, "Keep calm and carry on." In many ways, that's what the people of Jerusalem were being asked to do, in fact, told to do. God himself declares to them in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. Over the years, some of my friends have served as chaplains in the military in Northern Ireland, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. And has been their role to instill that reassuring message in the midst of conflict. It's hard to imagine how those caught up in the combat of the Kokoda Track, the jungles of Vietnam, the bombing in Darwin, or the D-Day landings at Normandy, dealt with the fear and the pressure. Many good chaplains played a vital role in giving spiritual and emotional support at such times, pointing men and women to the God who is ruler of all and who declares, "Be still and know that I am God." We may play our part, but ultimately we are to leave things in God's hands. He is sovereign. Know that I am God. At the very end of the psalm, to underscore this message of reassurance, there comes the refrain from verse 8. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our fortress, God the shelter. The Lord Almighty, God the ruler, is with us, God the helper. In conclusion, as we look back in this centenary year, we can give thanks for God's faithfulness and the courage and sacrifice of those who served this nation. As we look forward, we can have confidence, whatever challenges we face, in the one who is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. To him be the glory. Amen.